Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. You're not the first person to be in a cave. You're not the first person to struggle. You're not the first person. I'm not the first pastor. And this is not the first church to be where we are. And I can tell you there's a lot of churches that have been where we are, and we've been where we are before. But there's very few churches that ever make it out of that cave alive. There's very few churches that ever make it out of that cave and move on to bigger and better things. But I am determined. I have a made up mind. I'm going to pursue. I'm going to preach. I'm going to pray. I'm going to teach. And I'm going to believe until this church gets out of the cave and gets back into the game. And he lodged in the cave, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Somebody hear the word of the Lord today. Amen. Sometimes God gives you a word for others, but sometimes God gives you a word for yourself. Amen. You got to get a word for yourself. Amen. Before you can give a word to others. And God asked the prophet Elijah a question. He said, "What are you doing here?"
Yes.
And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and the great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord." Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. You can feel all kinds of things in the spirit, but that ain't what's going to give you your breakthrough. Amen. You can feel all kinds of things. You can shout all over the church, up and down the aisles, and cry your tears in your prayer closet, but that ain't going to be what gives you your breakthrough. And the Bible said, it goes on, but the Lord was not in the wind. We got to understand something. Just because you feel something don't mean God is in it. Just because you feel something don't mean that it's going to change anything.
Yes.
And now through the wind and earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Let me tell you something today, church. Hallelujah. We put a lot of stock in a lot of things. Amen. But the most powerful things, amen, are the little things, the secret things, the mysterious things. And there ain't nothing like, amen, with that low whisper from the voice of the Spirit of the living God whispers into your mind and soul and spirit. Hallelujah. The earthquake won't change you. Amen. The winds that blow won't change you. And the fire that falls won't change you. But what will change you and what will give you the breakthrough is when that low whispering voice of the Spirit speaks into your soul. And God is speaking in this house today. It's time we listened up and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's time that we perk our ears up and hear what the Spirit is saying to me. And then a low whispering. And when Elijah heard it, might have just said, "Come over here, Elijah. And when he heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave." Hallelujah. You got to get out of the cave to get your word from the Lord.
Yes, please.
Come on out and stand on the edge of the threshold, because God is about to speak And he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel, for seeking your covenant, thrown down your altars and killed your prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." Hallelujah. When the Lord starts repeating things to you, that's your first clue. Hallelujah. Something's wrong. Peter, do you love me more than these? I want you to know I love you. Peter, do you love me more? Lord, you know I. Peter, do you love me more? You better know something's wrong when God got to start repeating himself over and over and over. Because when God starts repeating himself, that means something in your head is stuck. Something in your brain is broken. There's some kind, amen, of a song or an idea or a belief stuck in your heart, amen, that is preventing you from understanding and perceiving what God is doing in your life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi you shall anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah you shall anoint to be prophet in your place. And the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael shall Jehu put to death. And the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha put to death. And yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel. All the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him." Up until this point, Elijah is doing some pretty amazing things. God has miraculously provided food during a severe drought. Elijah had raised the dead by the power of God. He had confronted evil King Ahab and his pagan priests and called down fire from God to consume his sacrifice. This phenomenon had not been seen since Solomon dedicated the temple. And the thousands of Israelites who saw this recommitted their lives to God instantaneously. And hundreds of idol priests were given the death sentence. And a multi-year drought was extinguished at the request of the man of God, the prophet Elijah. Let me just say, things are going pretty good for the prophet up till now. Let me just say, Elijah is in revival. Let me tell you something, church, just because you hit a snag doesn't mean your revival is over. Just because you have a moment of discouragement and you're dragging your feet doesn't mean that revival is over. It actually means that you have pushed forward far enough to face a new obstacle that you have never faced before, to face a new adversary that you have never faced before, and to learn a truth that you have never learned before. And in this case, the stronghold, amen, was in the mind and the heart of the man of God. Now he's physically exhausted, and the idol worshiping Queen Jezebel had just put a price on his head, and now he's out in the wilderness completely alone. But let me just tell you, amen, the threats of Jezebel was not what was causing him his problems. Because he had just overseen the slaughter of 800 prophets. Do you think he was afraid of Jezebel or death?
Yes.
His problem was not that he was tired. Because this ain't the first time or the first rodeo that he's ever been to. And the problem with the prophet, amen, is not that he is all alone in the world. He has been alone his whole life in ministry. What are you doing here? here, Elijah? Why are you in this condition? Why are you so discouraged and distraught? Now he's about to find out that not only is God not done with him, but he is about to go on to do greater things. But the prophet has a problem. He has a false belief, and his false belief is currently preventing him from accepting his next assignment.
Yes.
A false belief will lead to feelings of discouragement and defeat. Let me tell you something, no matter how true they may seem to feel, those doubts and those lies and those false beliefs will present an insurmountable limitation upon our spiritual growth and development.
That's right, amen, that's right.
If you're going to move forward before you leave this building today, God is going to have to confront some lies in your life.
Right.
If this revival is going to move out of, amen, the first fruits stage. Because let me tell you, those 20 people, 19 that were baptized last year, 2 this year, and 8 filled with the Holy Ghost are just the first fruits of what God has planned through the new group of church in this community. Getting ready to move into the harvest.
Yeah. Yeah.
But before that can happen, there are insurmountable limitations that have to be surmounted. There are obstacles that have to be removed. And those obstacles dwell in the strongholds of our hearts and our minds.
Yes, they do. Yes.
But when God's truth confronts your lie, you are on the brink of a life-changing
breakthrough.
I'm praying for each and every one of you in this house today. I can see where you're at. I can see where I'm stuck. I'm praying for myself too. I know you're praying for me. I love each and every one of you. And there is nothing that would make me happier today than to see the grimace and to see the downcast looks upon your faces, to see the cloud that I see hanging over your heads, and the doubts that you struggle with, to see you walk out of this building today with the weight taken off of you, to see you walk out of this building today with a brightness and a light on your face, amen, and a pep in your step, to see you walk out of this building today in the power and the deliverance of God. Everything Elijah was saying was correct. Don't get me wrong today. You don't get to call down fire from heaven and you're a wreck and a mess and a sinner and messed up. You don't get to, but let me tell you something, church. I'm not trying to talk down to you today. You've been praying people through the Holy Ghost. You've been having dreams and visions. You've been speaking and interceding in the Spirit in tongues. Let me tell you something. Amen. God don't use people that are jacked up on sin, but he uses people that are holy and righteous. And God has been using you powerfully in the kingdom. And everything that you're doing is exactly right, except that one thing. Elijah said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. Everybody say true.
True.
The people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. Everybody say true.
True.
They have thrown down your altars and killed your prophets. Everybody say true.
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 They are seeking to take my life. Everybody say true.
True.
I am the only one left. Everybody say false.
False.
Elijah had everything right, but this one lie was standing in the way of greater things that God was getting ready to do through him. Put your neighbor and say, breakthrough.
Breakthrough.
Hallelujah. Now it's getting quiet. Because God wants to confront your lie. Because God wants to confront your false ideas and beliefs. Because God wants to move you out of that narrow, tight spiritual plane that you have dwelled in for so long. And God wants to pull up the tent pegs of your tent. And He wants to make a bigger tent so that you can cover more territory in the spiritual kingdom. I wonder if anybody is tired of being stuck where they are and they're ready for a breakthrough.
Yes, sir.
I wonder if anybody's tired of thinking and saying, I ain't never seen this, that, or the other. Had a preacher text me last night, have you ever seen anybody that had a mental, officially mental diagnosed mental condition on medication delivered? We got to be careful the questions that we ask ourselves, because they can betray a lie that is within inside of us. And I meditated, been praying. How aren't you glad you're in the prayer closet when you get that time? That's the best place to be when you get their messages. And I was just praying, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus, talking in tongues. And then the Lord spoke to me, and I texted Him back, and I said, I have never seen anybody that was diagnosed with a mental condition, that was on medication, delivered before my eyes. But I have seen them filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes we got to confront the lie with the truth.
That's right.
The question is not, can God do that or can't God do that? The question is, what is God doing? We get ourselves beat up and discouraged over things, amen, and tripped up and falling down. Look what God does to Elijah. He gives him his next ministry instructions. But while He's giving him some instructions, He throws in a little truth. There are 7,000. You know, 7 is just a metaphorical number in the Bible. You know what God is saying to you? There are more than you realize that are out there. And the amazing thing about what God is saying to him is, because the kingdom of Israel was in civil war. The northern kingdoms had seceded and broke away from the southern kingdom of Judah. And every single king, from the first king, Jeroboam, to every single king to that date, had been pagan idol worshippers. Jeroboam made golden calves, just like they did in the wilderness when Moses crushed them down and made the people drink it. And he did that. And every king that they had were pagan idol worshipping Jews. Every leader that they had ever known since the Civil War was ungodly and wicked. And every priest that they had put into power weren't even qualified to be them. Say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So how is it that there are 7,000 who have never bow their knees? How is it that there are 7? This is a miraculous thing. Elijah did not understand it. He did not know it. He thought he was all alone. Hallelujah. But Elijah, you're not alone in this fight. And in addition to that revelation, God tells Elijah, I want you to appoint yourself a helper just to remind you that you are not alone in this fight. Not only does God give you the truth, but when you get the truth, then you move out. And the Bible said he walked by, amen, the field, and there Elisha was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he was in the 12th yoke, and he walked by the field, and he threw his coat on him like that. And the Bible says that Elisha, he was one of the 7,000. The Bible says, amen, that he took the yoke and he broke it in pieces, and he got some other sticks and he set it on fire, and he took the 2 oxen that he was plowing with and he cut them up. He said, I ain't ever coming back to this place again.
Amen.
And he went with Elijah. It's no wonder that when later on, when Elijah had moved on to his blessed reward, and Elisha was with his servant, and they were in a city that was surrounded by adversaries, and the servant said, "What are we going to do? Elisha, what are we going to do? Elisha, what are we going to do?" Because when God gives you a truth, amen, it has a cascading effect. It not only impacts you and your life and your ministry, but everybody that's watching you and following you. Hallelujah. There was an underground solidarity movement that Elijah was not even aware of. But what does Elisha say to his servant when they're surrounded by an army in a city? He said, "God, open his eyes and let him see the truth." And the Bible says the servant looked out the window, and the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the angelic hosts, the armies of God, and he said to him, so what did Elijah do? Well, you know, he just went on and hung out and got caught up. Instead of calling down fire from heaven, he got caught up in fire from heaven. And just, you know, just so he just moved on through this fire. Amen. And just as the Lord decided, "Man, you did so good there, buddy. If you're walking in the truth so good, let me just take you up into the world. I haven't done this since Eden, but I think I'll do it with you." Amen. He just moved on to his reward. And God, amen, was so impressed with him. And he moved out in the truth of God and the ministry and obedience to the commandments of God, that we see him later hanging out with Jesus on the Mount Transfiguration. Hallelujah. What's up, Jesus? You got this. We're with you. Amen. We're behind you. We've been preaching and we've been working, and everything that we work for, Jesus, you're about to bring it to pass. And Jesus said this: "Abraham rejoiced to see my day." Amen. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You are not alone in this house. So what is your lie today? Well, let me tell you the truth. Amen. Sometimes at some point in your walk with God, your limiting beliefs will come head to head with God's plan and will for your life. And you're going to have to make a decision. Will I continue to believe this lie, or will I exchange it for God's truth? Hallelujah. The truth is, the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You say, "Well, I'm in a relationship." Let me tell you something. You can't be in a relationship with Jesus and not know truth. That's right. I got the truth. You can't know truth and not be in a relationship with Jesus. The Bible is full of examples. Amen. There may be multiple lies that are ensconced, amen, in your heart and life today. But for now, we're just saying that there are some of us here that are struggling with things. God is wanting to grow your ministry. God is wanting to move you out into greater things and powerful things. Amen. God is wanting to transition this church to another dimension. We're praying for it. He's promised that we believe it. What's getting ready to happen is you're getting ready to have a breakthrough. God is getting ready to deliver you from your life. In Mark chapter 9, verse 24, the disciples' inability to cast out the demon in the man's son, Jesus was angry. How long do I have to put up with your doubts? They had the idea that things will always be easy, that the devil would give up without a fight, that I shouldn't have to work hard, that I shouldn't have to learn new skills, that I shouldn't have to grow as a believer to see greater victory. And the boy's father says something so insightful. Because he's in a moment of desperation, he speaks the truth out to Jesus of his condition. He comes up to Jesus and he said, "If you can do anything." Jesus looked at him and he was like, "What are you talking about? If I can." Man. Are you an idiot?
Amen.
What do you mean, if I can? Is he serious? Are you joking with me? And he looked at the dude and he said, if you can believe it, I can do it.
Amen.
Put it back on him.
Right.
Put it right back on him and listen to what the man says. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Amen.
Yes. Now the one thing that he got right in that statement was help. He needed help.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. The one thing that we need today is help from the Lord.
Yes.
Because this man was struggling with what James calls the double mind. Everybody say the double mind. Now mind in the Greek is psuche, which is your psyche or your soul. This man's got two souls. You know what that makes him, don't you? That makes him a spiritual schizophrenic. Talk about human beings being delivered from medications and mental conditions. There are some spiritual Christians that need to be delivered from some mental medicated conditions. That we medicate with YouTube videos. And we medicate with a shadow on Sunday morning at the worship time. We medicate it with conferences. And we medicate it with whining and complaining in the prayer closet. Oh, we need to be medicated, all right. We need to be medicated. We need to start meditating on the Word of God and be delivered from the lies that have us bound. Said in chapter 1, verse 6, 7, 8, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything. Everybody say anything. We're talking about an insurmountable obstacle. If you don't believe, you'll never receive. Well, I pray and I haven't believed. Does that mean I pray and I haven't received? Does that mean I don't believe? That's exactly what it means. Hey, this is just as condemning to the pastor as it is to everybody else. You say you believe and it didn't happen, then you're lying. You got a double mind. You got a double soul. You got a double psyche. You got some schizophrenic thing going on. But that person must not suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all his ways. Why was Elijah where he was? Because he had an instability in his soul that the truth from the Word of God needed to fix.
Yes.
Why are you unstable? Why are you stuck? Why are you struggling? It's because you need a breakthrough where God speaks truth into your life. You cannot grow. You cannot experience a breakthrough if you simultaneously hold two opposing beliefs. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. It's either yes, he said, or it's no. But it can never be both.
Right.
There is a stronghold that gets in our mind. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought in captive to obey Christ. Let us stand together today. If you got a song stuck in your head, even if you're struggling with something that sounds like a broken record, even I've talked to enough believers to know what a broken record sounds like, and I'm old enough to know what a broken record is. I know you're old enough to know what a broken record, broken record, broken record, broken record, broken record, broken record. How many of you ever met a Christian who had a broken record going on in their life? You got to walk over to that record player, and you got to pull that thing over and get it over that stupid scratch that's on there, and get it back to playing the music that it's supposed to play, supposed to play, supposed to play.
Praise the Lord.
What you need to do is you need to pull that record off the turntable, and you need to break it over your knee and throw it in the trash and get you the new album that just came out. It's called The Truth That Sets You Free. It's the truth that says God can't do anything. It's the truth that says, song number two, is there anything too hard for Him? If it's impossible, do you need a miracle? Anything too hard for Him? So sometimes I don't think we're serving the same God that parted the Red Sea. I don't think we're serving the same God that raised the dead and opened the blind eyes. I don't think we're serving, maybe we are serving the same God, but there's a truth that needs to come down. There's a lie that needs to come down and a truth that needs to bring it down. The battering ram of the truth, because if you don't let the truth of God set you free, it will destroy your soul. The wicked servant in Matthew 25 was missing an important piece of the truth. The master gave out money to all of his servants, and he said, take care of my money while I'm gone. I'll be back. Everybody knew what that meant except one knucklehead. Hallelujah. The master got on his donkey, or he got in his cart, and he took off. And it was, I got five, I got two, how many do you? I got one. All right, I'm going over here. And they took off, and they got busy, because they said, we don't know when the master's coming back. We're going to have to get busy and do what he, they knew exactly what he was talking about. But the guy with the one was still standing there when everybody else took off.
I got one. Anyway.
He was missing truth in his life.
Right.
And it lost him his soul. He equated his master's prosperity and industriousness with harshness. And he was afraid of this. And he was worried about failure. So while his master was away, you know what he did with his money? It's the same thing that you're going to do for the kingdom of God as long as you miss a truth or have a lie that's supplanting it.
That's right.
Are going to do nothing.
Right.
Or you're going to reach a point where you've done all you can do and you can't do anymore until the lie is fixed.
Right.
This man became paralyzed with fear because of his false opinion of the master. But he has a hidden problem. And when the master returned and called for an accounting, he became angry with this servant. And he said two things about him. Number one, you're wicked. And number two, you're lazy. Wicked never did anything right. Lazy never did anything anyway. You want a breakthrough? You need the truth. I could list off a long list of lies and things that people and ministers and prophets and great, great men of God and women of God have struggled with over the years throughout the Bible history. But today, God wants to break the lie. Well, there's not that many people today, so God's not going to move like He would if it was a revival and an evangelist here or more people in the church. You will be a self-fulfilling prophecy. The master said to the servant, as you have said, so will be done to you. And they took him out and they beat him and cast him into outer darkness. Well, this isn't my day. I'm not in the mood today. And I'm tired. I'm distracted. I've got things on my mind. Let me tell you something, baby. I got things on my mind too. Because me and Mama are going out on our date. Let's shut this party down to get on my date. But no, it's because there is love between us. God wants to release this church into the next dimension of operation. Into the power and demonstration. How many of you want to see the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost? How many of you want to be used to demonstrate and channel the power of the Holy Ghost? How many of you are tired of hearing about it and you're ready to see it for yourself?
That's right. Amen. Yes.
In the name of Jesus. every lie that comes from the father of liars. God, this is your part where you speak into our hearts, in their minds. Let's pray together right now. The Bible said later in James chapter 4, verse 8.